people care and promise and give a good person. And I notice she's not ashamed of what she does. She throws a little skin or skin beating blonde, and she knows how to actually have fires and stuff. Actually, smells out of the same one class place of work and everything. So she's faithful to do that. And even her screen play on her computer. They walk her off. Thank you. 135:6, thou pass away to the Lord, please. That did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Pass away to the Lord, please. That he did in heaven, in the earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Daniel chapter 6. I refer to the New Testament. Daniel chapter 6, verse 27. And I guess I could have read more of these scriptures, or, you know, when we turn to each scripture, just read one verse, but I'm just doing these scriptures to prove or to make my point that I mentioned. In Daniel 6, verse 27, it says, he delivers, and he rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of a lion, among other things. But he delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He is the one who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. I use these two scriptures, or these three scriptures, to make point B. He does according to his will. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, up among the inhabitants of the earth. Point A, whereas all the inhabitants of the earth are treated as nothing. Point B, he does all things according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Point C, we ask you to turn to Job 34. And if you don't want to bring all these scriptures and you want to just jot them down for later reference, sure that'll be as well. Because like I said, I am just supposed to be taking one verse at a time here. In Job 34, in verse 29. Job 34, verse 29 says, when he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? When he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? When he hides his face, who then can behold it? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. The scripture in the form of a question, when he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? When he has, and when he hides his face, who then can behold it? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. Back to Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 13. Isaiah 43 and verse 13. Yes, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will look, and who shall lay? Yes, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Point C. Point C, and none can stay his hand. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accused of nothing. Being he does according to his will of the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand. Point C. Job chapter 9. The last point, or maybe not the last point, but point B, anyway. In Job chapter 9 and verse 12, Job chapter 9 and verse 12, the scripture says, behold, he takes away, who can hinder him? And who will say unto him, what do you do, or what doest thou? Isaiah 45 and verse 9. Now you see why you might as well jot these scriptures down. It's a lot of turning, I know, but Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 9. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potter strive with the potters. Of the earth shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? For thy work he hath no man. Isaiah 45 and verse 12. Or, excuse me, Isaiah 45 and verse 9. Woe to him that strive with his maker, let the potter strive with the potter of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, thou thinkest thou of thy work, he hath no end? Jeremiah. Next book over, Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6. does nothing. Apart from God, and this is something else, rather than it being all. But knowledge that apart from God, humanity is devoid of value or meaning. And it is regarded as nothing. That humanity apart from God is regarded or treated or considered as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say you can't or say anything else, what doest thou? We have to understand, brethren, that God is beyond the control of any of his creation. God is beyond the control of any of his creatures. And accountable to none of them for anything that he chooses to do. I think we understood from Romans 9:20 that the cost cannot ask the Father, what have you done? The Scottish Bible commentary says, and I'm quoting, the wisdom and holiness of the Almighty so far surpassed the comprehension of mankind as to render presumptuous any criticism of God's providences in managing his world. The wisdom and holiness of the Almighty so far surpassed the comprehension of mankind or the human mind, you might say, as to render presumptuous any criticism of his providences in managing his world. And it's true. I don't think anyone here wants to question God, wants to question God's rulership or authority to do whatever he chooses and whatever he chooses to do it. Now, man, with that kind of authority, the authority to do whatever he wants, would be dangerous. We've seen that in the past with the Adolf Hitlers and the justice of the world. But we understand that God is true and just. And it makes us feel good, or it should make us feel good to understand that he reigns supreme. Now, I personally do not have a great wealth of knowledge about the book of Daniel. I don't have a great wealth of knowledge about Daniel's history. I can see that he was a royal blood. Told to me in the beginning of the book of Daniel. But I said at the beginning, if we can learn one little bit more about God, and I think if we learn more about these writings and these books, we learn more about God, therefore our morals will draw closer to him and increase the value of our relationship with God. But as I said, I can see that he was a royal boy if you read in Daniel, the first chapter. And the king speaking to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel to let the king see and let the princes. And in verse 6 it says, now among these, one of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Ishmael, and Azariah. So I could see that Daniel was a royal blood, or royal heritage. But he was above that, for he was a bold, average, physically and mentally. It says that there were four children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and were skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding. And cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and that they might teach the learning and the tongues of Chaldeans. For I can see he was above average, physically and mentally. That he was probably taken captive as a teenager, and that he lived until at least the third year of Syria, which would make him well into his 80s. So that's just a little bit of history about Daniel. Anybody need to take Daniel's references? You know, like they do a lot of times when you put on a job application, they want you to put down references, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Call these people to see what kind of worker you are, what kind of person. But if I needed to check Daniel's references, he received some pretty high marks in Ezekiel. Just to turn there for a moment. You don't have to turn there. You can write this down. I'm going to turn to these backups on it. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 14, in verse 14, if I were to go back and get some references on Daniel, in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, so these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver by their own clothes. By their righteousness, serve the Lord God. Now,
to his father with his son-in-law and had to reign for some 16 years. However, he left the kingdom in the hands of his son Belshazzar for much of that time. Nabonidus was able to restore a measure of glory to Babylon. Belshazzar ruled as king during the last years of that, and it's not evident until the end of the chapter, but while Belshazzar was feasting in revelry, the city was surrounded by the Persian army. Belshazzar considered the city unassailable because of the massive walls, and therefore felt confident to hold the banquet in the face of a military threat. So that gives us some background, at least for Nebuchadnezzar, for this point that we're going to read about. Now I want you to turn to the fifth chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to a thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this doesn't mean his actual father. This should be probably forefather, because he wasn't actually Nebuchadnezzar's son, but he was from the line of Nebuchadnezzar. Golden silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And the same hour came the four fingers of a man's hand, and lay over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now this is a familiar term, even in our day. You know, there was a popular country music song by George Jones a few years back. Something about how close country songs are, I guess. Him and his wife splitting up or whatever, but they go back into the house, and it's an empty house, but kids had written a message to him on the wall in purple crayon or whatever. And he starts singing about seeing the writing on the wall. And today we talk about things that are obvious and things that are going to happen. You know, the handwriting was on the wall. So, it's a familiar term. Today I want to read again from the comment section of this study Bible that says, the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, by God, is that unearthed their room on the side of ancient Babylon, located in Iraq, and is plastered and measures 165 feet by 55 feet. It may very well have been Belshazzar's banquet hall. And they're all found unearthing things and finding things that prove Scripture to be true. And I think more than time they're looking for stuff that proves it untrue, but I found that to be an interesting fact. But getting back to the Scripture, picking it up again in verse 10. Okay, he saw this hand writing on the wall. It said the king saw the part of the hand that wrote it. In verse 6, then the king's countenance was changed. I can imagine. You know, if I see something like this, it's like something off of a horror movie or something. You see this hand writing on the wall. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his troubles and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote against one another. Now, this is pretty not an individual here that's, you know, so upset that his knees are knocking, literally. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king Sardis section of this Bible that says the queen was probably Belshazzar's mother or grandmother. Since his wives were all the athletes. Verse 11. We continue the story. There is a man in thy kingdom, and whom is the spirit of holy God. Again, this is the queen speaking to Belshazzar. There is a man in thy kingdom, and whom is the spirit of holy God. And in the days of thy father, I am understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the God was found in him. From the king Nebuchadnezzar, my father the king, I say thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and the solving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, and the king named Belshazzar. Not Belshazzar, but Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you. Interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light of understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations, and resolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. Now, as I was reading down through this and studying for this, I was thinking, oh, kind of what Daniel's response is going to be. And I know I've probably read this before in the past, but not familiar enough with it to remember all of it. But then I got to verse 17, and Daniel's reply becomes obvious. After the king had told him all this and told him all these things, notice what Daniel has to say in verse 17. Then Daniel answered, and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy reward to another. Yet, I will read the writings of the king, and make known to him the interpretation. I want to stop right there just a minute, and comment on the testimony that I spoke of concerning Daniel's attitude. Now, in this whole thing, any of us, we can take this, we're trying to put ourselves in Daniel's shoes here, and we're confident the king calls us in, and we're confident that we can translate this writing and make an interpretation. But the king has promised all these things to make us the third ruler in the kingdom. You know, well, I can do the work of God here, and I can interpret this man's wish and tell him what's written on the wall, but if there's something in it to me, why not? You know, why can't I stop and look at it? There's anything wrong with that. But Daniel, he didn't let his pride or his wisdom go to his head. This gift that he had to interpret dreams and understand mysteries. I mean, as I said, this is a perfect testimony of Daniel's attitude. Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. And he could have said, I ain't going to interpret nothing. I'm not sure he would have used that bad of grammar, but I'm not going to interpret anything. But he didn't. It's a testimony of Daniel's attitude. In verse 18, O thou king, the most high, God gave Nebuchadnezzar, my father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. So this is Daniel talking to Belshazzar. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened and proud, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. So he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it, and he appoints over it whosoever that he will. Remember what we were reading earlier about Nebuchadnezzar's understanding coming to him after 7 years of dementia? I'd like to back up just a minute to the fourth chapter of Daniel and pick up some of that. says in verse 22, chapter 5, picking up the story we left back from. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 22. And thou, the son of Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Though thou knowest all this, but have lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. Fear that thy Lord, thy wives, thy concubines, have drunk wine to them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, of iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor neither will know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is. Think about the sovereignty of God. In whose hand thy breath is. And who is all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Then with the power of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. And I probably can't pronounce this right. Mani, Kakel, Epharis. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mani, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tackle thou art ready to the balances and are found wanting. Paris, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And we're going to see how profound this is as the story goes. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And it says he was called the third ruler in the kingdom because Belshazzar and Nabonidus were already co-rulers. Critics of the Bible in the crosstown suggested that Daniel erred greatly in portraying Belshazzar as the last king of Babylon. For ancient secular historians listed Nabonidus as Babylon's final king. However, the finding of several official tablets dealing with Belshazzar has shown that he was assuredly Nabonidus' son, ruling as second ruler in the kingdom. Accordingly, when Daniel translated and explained the enigmatic word on the wall, he could be made but third ruler. Verse 30. In that night, Daniel had just told him what this writing meant. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And if Belshazzar knew how close this prophecy was. In verse 30 it says, in that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. Comments. Babylon was practically invincible. But according to extra-biblical records, the Persians were able to divert the Euphrates River, which ran through the city, and thus walk in through the shallow riverbed. The capital city is well attested in ancient records from both the Babylonian and Persian annals. Though never mentions the slaying of Belshazzar, he must have died in a palace skirmish. In essence, the city was taken without a fight. Now, in verse 31, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now there have been critics who thought Daniel made a historical error, as it says in that comment. And they also think there was a mistake made here concerning Darius the Median. However, this Darius is not to be confused with the latter Persian king, Darius the Great. And after saying all that, and reading this story and Daniel's interpreting of another king, another king's visions and dreams and the things that happen. Now this is a great history lesson. But that isn't the only lesson, or perhaps the biggest lesson that I saw of this, or the biggest lesson that is to be gleaned from this chapter. I know these things can be monotonous reading through all these scriptures and hearing these things. But it makes me think of a familiar joke. You know, when I was talking about things that are being lost in this society, and I think we're on the downslide. I know we're on the downslide because we have gone away from seeking God's faith. Not us as individuals, rather than the church, but the nation or the world as a whole have gone away from seeking God's faith. It may take a period of time, but we will eventually hit the bottom. But there is a familiar joke, and I'm not sure move away from God and think we have grown.